I want to pause for a minute and recognize and realize that, you know, a couple of days ago was 9/11, right? And I know that you guys are further down south than I am up here in central New Jersey. And yes, by the way, central Jersey does exist, but that was a horrible day. And as I look back at that day of 9/11, it was a horrible day filled with hate. That's what I realized. It was just hate, a day of hatred on our country and on these people, many of them, most of them, I mean, just innocent that we're just Americans, but hate shone towards us. But as a country, we reacted in love. And so if you lost someone, a friend or a friend of a friend of 9/11, you have my sympathy. You have my sorrows. If there's prayers that you need, put those in the comments. Myself, the church that I was a part of, that my wife works for, Princeton Alliance Church. I live in Princeton Junction, where probably 60% of the people commute to the city. And there was a friend, there was a person and a friend of mine that we did lose on that day. And it was just a horrible situation to a phenomenal man. So I just want to recognize those of you that may be feeling it or just feeling that loss. We feel losses deeper when we're separated. Isn't that interesting? But I want to continue with this series of what can we do as we look at Micah 6:8. Right? In Micah 6:8, it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" And we've been walking through this next part of the verse, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Loving mercy is divided into two parts in my mind. The first is giving forgiveness. We talked about that last week, and that's online. If that's something that hits your heart, then watch that message. But the other part of that, that's been impressed on me is showing compassion. You see, if we know Jesus, and we've taken him and made that decision as him being our Savior and our Lord, then we are called to follow him. That means compassion comes from God with Jesus as our model. So what can Jesus teach us about compassion? Well, first, from a personal side, compassion is something, I'm going to play the Paul card, where I was the worst of sinners before God got a hold of my heart. But after I had already accepted him as my Savior, but was struggling with him as my Lord, my compassion was very, very little. I was about actions and consequences. Grew up German American. You get what you deserve. You don't get, well, because you didn't deserve it. And so my compassion was very small. Well, they just need to. Well, if they just, it's always pointing outward. Isn't that interesting? Lack of compassion always points outward rather than inward. But when God really got a hold of my heart, when Jesus really got a hold of my heart through showing me his grace and his compassion and his mercy for me, that all changed. I started to see things through new eyes. Where there was not compassion, there was now mercy and a drive to show something, to do something. See, compassion is giving of yourself when someone is hurting. It's my sacrifice to you because you need it. It's my way of showing love to you when you are down. Compassion is simple, folks. I see you're hurt. I want to show you I care about you. And I want to show you I hurt with you. Compassion is not a political statement. It's a human statement. And we're also going to see that it's a biblical statement. You hurt. I care. I want to help. And here's the thing. It needs to be a Christian statement. Let's take a look at the biblical view of compassion. at different times were encouraged, instructed, and even commanded to show compassion. In Colossians 3, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with compassion. That puts on the idea of putting on the new that Ephesians 4:22 talks about. We're to put on a coat of compassion. It's part of the new clothes we have and we are given when we become followers of Jesus, and our inheritance is found in Jesus as God's Son. In order to put on, Ephesians 4 tells us, in order to put on the new, we have to take off the old. You don't get a new coat and put it on over your old coat and go, okay, now I'm good to go. No, you cast off, you put away your old coat, and you put on the new coat. So what are the opposites in this verse, right? Pride, harshness, impatience. That one really hurts me, I got to tell you. And anger. Interesting. All those things we're to put on have to do with how we deal with people. All of those things. We're to deal with people with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. The fruit of the Spirit, when you look at that, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, they all have to do with how we deal with one another. There are 50 plus one another's in the New Testament alone. 16 of those, we are commanded to love one another. You see, the Christian life is to be lived in community, one to another. To care for each other, one to another. To encourage each other, one to another. And to hurt, to mourn, to grieve, one to another. If I take that verse literally, and I do, then when I don't put on those things, when I don't put off the old things, I'm walking around in my old clothes. Why would I do that? Doesn't make sense. In Galatians 6, Paul says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ, one to another. Compassion says, I see what you're carrying. Let me help you. In 2 Corinthians, it says, praise be to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. So where does compassion come from? Interesting. The same place love comes from. The same place every good thing comes from, God, our Father. And he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I want you to get this. This is important, and especially important to compassion. Compassion comes from God, and the comfort he gives us is so we can comfort others. Wow. That means whatever comfort you get from Jesus, from the Spirit, from God, the encouragement, you are being prepared to comfort others that are feeling in the same way that you felt when you needed that comfort. So we're to pay it forward. We're to keep it going. It's the ultimate chain letter. Think about that. For those of you that aren't too old and remember chain letters, I know they still go around in Facebook Messenger. Oh, please send this forward. I never do. I don't like them. Please don't send me any chain letters. It will end with me. I will break the chain. You can hold me responsible. But this is the ultimate chain letter in I get comfort from God. First off, I'm down. So I look to my Lord. He gives me comfort, and that prepares me to comfort someone else. So now I start looking around. Who needs this? Who needs that encouragement? Who needs that comfort? Who needs that compassion? Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That's compassion. And in 1 Peter 3, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. That verse tells me compassion is built on sympathy, which comes from unity. Be like-minded and humility. And that's how Jesus carried himself. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the lost sheep, the great banquet table. All of those are just parables and stories showing the importance of compassion to those that are overlooked. Let's look back. The Good Samaritan. We talked about a little bit about what that meant. But a Good Samaritan, the Samaritan was a different race. The religious person thought he was upholding his religious laws, and he probably was, by going on the other side of the road and saying somebody else can clean that up. The prodigal son was ungrateful. The lost sheep wandered away. The banquet table, the master ends up inviting those who were never invited, would never be invited, bringing them in to the master's table. And those aren't, Jesus didn't just stop at the stories. He extended himself and acted on his commands. He healed lepers who were social outcasts. He drove out demons. The demon-possessed people were thought of as a threat to themselves, but to society. He turned and forgave the sins and healed the bleeding woman who reached out to touch him. And she was visibly unclean. And he healed the blind. And that's what I want us to look at today. Turn in your Bibles or your Bible apps to Luke 18. We're going to start in verse 35. I have no slides, so if you want, you can hear it from me, or you can look it up and see it for yourself. So I have no slides today. Had some technical things I had to go through. Verse 35, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Why? That's what blind men did. Blind women did. They sat by the city gates, knowing that most, that's the place where most people would walk by, and they cried out and begged in order to live, to eat. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. That's all he heard. And instantly he called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way, those could have been apostles, those could have been other people that were followers of Jesus, were leading his way into the city, rebuked him, rebuked the blind man, and told him, be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. You see, he called out for Jesus in a personal way and in a persistent way because he knew Jesus heals. In his mind, he must be thinking, I know who you are. When I heard Jesus, son of David, or when I heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I know who that person is. And I need him to show mercy on me. And Jesus responds to the request. Verse 40, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? After being drawn to Jesus, actually Jesus being drawn to him, Jesus says, how can I help you? Why did you call out for me? What do you really want from Jesus? Doesn't it seem obvious in this case? He's blind. Why is Jesus asking, what do you want? Because Jesus wanted to hear his heart and see his faith. He replies, Lord, I want to see. Notice, he went from Jesus, son of David, to Lord. He's acknowledging who this person is. The beggar acknowledges his weakness and Jesus' power in overcoming it in one revealing statement. Lord, I want to see. In that, he's saying, Lord, I can't see. Lord, you can help me see. Lord, I want to see. He comes to Jesus saying, here I am, help me see. And in verse 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus showed compassion first by stopping. He could have just kept going on. Second, by taking the time to listen and talk to him. And in that, he heard the pleas of a hurting person. Jesus shows us the same compassion every time we pray. He intercedes for us to God. He's our healer. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our Lord. Lamentations 3 says, your mercies are new every morning. Another translation of that says, compassion never fail. So great is your faithfulness. Lord, your compassion never fails. Great is your faithfulness. It's linking compassion and faithfulness together. Love mercy. Seek mercy. Desire to show mercy. How do we access those mercies that never fail? How do we get energized up and powered up for that? It's through experiencing, connecting with Jesus, his love, that we will have the courage to show compassion. We get it from his mercy that never fails to me. So I can comfort others. I can give to others in the same way. These days, to show compassion takes great courage because it's been linked with division rather than unity. It's been linked to agendas rather than the people who are hurting. It's been linked to qualifiers. Okay, but rather than I see you, I hear you, I hurt for you, how can I help? What can I do? We need to squelch those dividing noise and speak up. And to do that, we need to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, show your mercy to me. And when he turns his face to us, when we sense his spirit in us, we need to be prepared to answer. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? I see you. I hurt with you. How can I help? That's compassion. And to me, that's loving mercy. If your compassion gauge is low, like mine was, you need to reconnect to the source and ask him show me your face. If it's not, and you're hesitant to show mercy and compassion because of all the other stuff, the noise that's going around, you need to ask for courage. But it's interesting, in these words in Micah that we've been looking through, they're all action. You don't see the word teach. You don't see the word learn. You see act or do. You see love, which I've shown as give forgiveness and show compassion. And next week, you will see walk humbly. If you're lacking, the Bible says, we go to him who has an unrelenting, unyielding, unending amount of love and compassion. Ask him to see with his eyes so that we can love mercy by giving forgiveness and by showing compassion.